And so, Father, it is our desire that you would have your way in us. It's our desire that we would say personally, have your way in me. Lord, we give you our heart, we give you our soul, we give you our very lives. Have your way in us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us. And Holy Spirit, do your ministry of leading us to truth, I pray. Have your way in us. Teach us this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you to Lee and Jake for leading us in praise and worship this morning. I would invite you, if you have a Bible, to open it to the book of Colossians, to Colossians chapter 4. We'll be looking at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6 this morning. Colossians is in the New Testament after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts, Romans, 2 Corinthian letters. Then you'll come to a number of small books, and Colossians is the fourth, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. I invite you to follow along as I would read it for the direction that we will be going this morning. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. The Apostle Paul is the writer, and he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should, and be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." May the Lord add his blessing this morning to his word being read. Today we start the fourth week in our 40 days of prayer with the topic evangelism, local and regional. As we kick off this theme this week, I invite you to watch a short video from Tim Meyer.
Just the word evangelism can make some of us nervous. We remember being pressured into sharing our faith, or maybe awkward conversations with strangers. Maybe we're nervous about being those people who are trying to be coercive or trying to accomplish a task. But evangelism, in simple terms, is simply an extension of the life and love that we have received from God to others, to invite them into the family that we have been invited into ourselves. Evangelism isn't just about winning arguments, it's about loving people. And while a conviction of sin needs to happen, and many times we are in long conversations with people about why Jesus is the one and why he's the Savior, normally that doesn't happen in the first 3 minutes. It's cultivated out of a life of hospitality where we invite other people into our space, but we're also willing to be invited into other people's lives. Sometimes that's even the harder ask. This month we've been talking about prayer, and that's where this all starts, because even caring about other people who don't know Jesus, or even more, being willing to share our faith, doesn't come naturally, and it's not even logical. It comes from a transformed heart, but God loves to answer that prayer. So when we ask God to help us see others, those that we come in contact with regularly, or even those around the world that we'll never see, he changes our hearts and also gives us courage to step into their space, even sometimes gives us words to say to people that we're like, where did that come from? So my encouragement to you is that you would be expectant, that God would give you people to talk to and a heart for them, for all of those that you come in contact with regularly, and for those who you've not yet met.
So evangelism, local and regional, is where we are going this week and where we look at today. So we've been on this 40 days of prayer journey, if you haven't been with us to this point. But we've been on this journey now for 3 weeks. Today we enter the fourth. And we've prayed about a number of things over these 3 weeks. The first week was about the holiness of God. And when we encounter and when we pray into and understand the holiness of God in a fresh way, we gain a greater awe of and a greater love for God. But at the same time, seeing his holiness, seeing how great he is, how great his love is for us, how pure and perfect he is, it also exposes our unholiness. That was the theme of week two, that these encounters with the holiness of God, these understandings afresh of the holiness of God, lead us to places where we recognize our unholiness and where we then begin to engage in God's gift of repentance to us. And as we repent, we begin to align ourselves more with the way that Jesus is. He transforms us in that way, but it also gives us opportunity to be emptied of some of those things that are not like Jesus. And it gives space then for the Holy Spirit as we repent to replace those places in our soul that we have repented of with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It leads us to fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit into new levels of being controlled by and empowered by the presence of the Spirit. All of this leads us to places of great blessing, the holiness of God, to repentance, to spirit fullness and spirit empowerment the third week. But if we stop there, it's only half the story. If we stop with the blessing we receive and understanding the holiness of God, repentance, and being more full of the Holy Spirit and more empowered by him, it's only half the story, because we are blessed, but it's not for the purpose just for our blessing. In Genesis chapter 12, we've talked often that Abraham, in the Abrahamic promise that he was given and the covenants that he was given by God, they were for the purpose that he would be blessed and become a great nation so that he may be and his descendants may be a blessing to all the nations. Same for us. All of these understandings, all the blessings we receive, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so in these next 3 weeks, as we come towards the second half of this 40 days of prayer journey, we're going to be looking at the outflow of what we have received and have been receiving from God. We're going to be looking at evangelism and mission. This week, starting with local and regional. We'll be following that Acts chapter 1, verse 8 model. And those kids who have been enjoying and going through the DA Kids lessons and virtual calls would know this verse, Acts 1:8. If you're watching and listening, say it with me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This morning we start with, out of the empowerment of the Spirit, our local and regional, our Jerusalem and our Judea. And as we have been doing, to follow along with what our Alliance family is doing, we'll be using an outline this morning by Reverend Yvonne Marti and personalizing it as we go. So this morning we're going to look, if you have sermon notes either in bulletins or you've downloaded them from the website prior to this morning's service, we're going to be looking at two ways to pray and one action step that we all can take in this idea of evangelism, local and regional. So first, the first of the two prayer actions is this. The first prayer action, pray for those on the front line of evangelism and church planting. Pray for those on the front lines of evangelism and church planting here in our Jerusalem, in our Judea. Paul says again, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He gives us the hows. How should we be praying for those on the front lines of evangelism and church planting? Gives us three ways. The first is that we should do it devotedly. We should pray for them devotedly. Paul tells the Colossians to devote themselves to prayer for them. See, prayer is not to be something that we do once in a while. It's not something we do on Sunday mornings. It's not something we do just at our devotional times or at our prayer meetings or small group meetings, but regularly, devotedly. That is the pattern of the New Testament. It started when Jesus said, as he ascended back to the Father after his resurrection and 40 days on earth, his instruction to his disciples was to go back and to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the disciples and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers, we are told, were constantly praying. There was a period between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, and that period of time was 10 days. And so for 10 days, they devoted themselves to prayer, not just sitting around waiting, but actively, devotedly giving themselves to prayer, and then the Holy Spirit came. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, when he talks about the armor of God, he ends it with pray in at all times in the Spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says to pray continually. See, we should be devoted to prayer. Prayer should not be something that we just do occasionally, but that we are devoted deeply to. Now, some of you may say, well, that's not possible in this day and age. We've got so many things in our schedules. We have so much going on that we could be devoted, and I understand that. I feel the tension myself. But as I was thinking of that objection myself, I thought, how devoted am I into seeing the latest sports news or the latest news in general? I think we would all have things in our lives that we would say, I'm very devoted to that on your free time, or even just where your mind goes. And so I think there is space for all of us to say, I may not be praying in every moment at all times, but I can take a step in some of the things that I have been devoting my attention to. I can shift a little bit towards prayer, towards praying for those on the front lines of evangelism and church planting in addition to my own prayer life. Pray devotedly. Also, secondly, pray watchfully. Paul says to be watchful. Staying watchful means to stay focused on the things of God and on conversations you are having with him. Now, you may be like me and have times where you're in prayer and your mind drifts, and before you know it, it's been 10 minutes and you have completely been off the prayer focus. You've been trying to pray, but your mind drifts. Let me encourage you, if that's you, you are normal. You are human. It is normal and human to struggle with our minds drifting, which is why Paul has to tell us to be watchful. A soldier who is on patrol, watching for the enemy, his mind is going to drift, certainly over the course of a patrol shift. But he has to come back when his mind drifts. I got to stay focused. I got to be watching again for the enemy. See, it's not a matter of if your mind will drift when you are praying, but it's a matter of what you do when your mind drifts. When you become aware of it, do you catch yourself and come back and say, Lord, here I am again? And my experience has been that the longer you devote yourself to prayer, the longer you focus on being watchful in prayer, the more disciplined your mind will become. And if you start to move away from it, as there are times and seasons when I do of having that same level of devotion to prayer, it will take some work to get back to that watchfulness. Paul says to be devoted. He says to be watchful in praying for those on the front lines of evangelism and church planting. And he says, thirdly, to pray with a thankful heart. To pray with a thankful heart, being watchful and thankful. This summer, we looked into the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, his whole theme of the book was joy, thankfulness, joy, rejoicing. And Paul wrote the same letter to the Colossians at the same time as he was writing to the Philippians as well. And the place that he was writing from was prison. And so for Paul, just as he wrote about joy from prison, has that same theme here in Colossians, to be thankful. And if there's anyone who knows what it means to have difficulty and to have struggles in being thankful, it would have been Paul. And so Paul says and encourages us that as we are praying, and as we are praying specifically for those on the front lines of evangelism and church planting, to make sure that we are doing it with a thankful heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 or 5:18 says to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Not be thankful for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. So pray for those on the front lines of evangelism and church planting. Pray for them devotedly, watchfully, and with a thankful heart. Now, you may be listening and saying, well, that's all wonderful, but I don't know anybody who is on the front lines of evangelism and church planting. And if that is you, you're in luck, because I know some people who are on the front lines of evangelism and church planting, so I can give you somebody to pray for. There is a new church plant in the Oakmont, Verona area, the Twin Boroughs, called Bridging Rivers Community Alliance Church. Bridging Rivers Community Alliance Church. And the pastoral couple that is planting this church is Ryan and Jenny Manners. Ryan and Jenny Manners, remember those names. Pray for Ryan and Jenny and their family. Their whole desire of being used by God and what he has put on their hearts for this church plant is this. That as existing as a part of Pittsburgh, the city of bridges, the whole Verona, Oakmont just being 9 miles up and along the Allegheny River from downtown Pittsburgh, they write, we rely as a people heavily on bridges in everyday life. And just as bridges span rivers and connect communities, at Bridging Rivers Community Alliance, we desire to become a bridge that spans the river currents of culture and connects people with the gospel of Jesus Christ by loving our neighbors, by engaging the communities, and demonstrating the presence of Jesus everywhere and with everyone in whom we encounter. These are two that God has called specifically to build bridges to lost people, to connect them to the person of Jesus Christ. And so if you're saying, I don't know anybody who is on the front lines of evangelism and church planting, well, you can begin to pray, even though you may not know them personally, you can begin to pray for Ryan and Jenny and their family in Bridging Rivers Community Alliance Church. I also want to take this moment to share a short update with you. If you've been a part of Dorseyville Alliance for a while, you know that one of the things that we have sensed the Lord leading us to do is to bring an international worker candidate, a missionary, one who would be preparing to go overseas one day to do their 2 to 3 year home service here in our church. It's been a number of years, and we've had a few people who have been possibilities, but the Lord has not been bringing us together. And I want to update you that recently, those leaders in our district came to us and said, we have a little bit of a different opportunity, but we know your heart. We know your heart is to invest in workers who will be sent into the harvest field in some way, shape, or form, and also at the same time be having ministry experience that's going to help you in your outreach into the community. So recently we were given the opportunity to have conversations with a man named Cammie Hanna. Cammie and his wife Katrina and 3 kids are may potentially one day be doing some church planting as a possibility of one of the things, but they're in a discerning period of their lives and trying to see where the Lord is leading them. And we've been asked about the possibility to see if our paths are crossing, Dorseyville Alliance and the Hanna family, to what God is doing in their lives in equipping them and helping them toward greater ministry fruitfulness, but also what he may be doing in our midst to empower us to be able to share Christ more, to be on the front lines more of evangelism and church planting. And so this would be a little bit of a shift, but it's the same purpose, to be a greenhouse, just as plants grow in a greenhouse, to allow him and his family to grow and develop and to be on those front lines and helping to lead us to the front lines of evangelism more. And so in a couple weekends, February 12th, 13th, and 14th, our plan is to have them come for a discerning time. They would get to know us, we get to know them more in the area, and we would discern whether the Lord would be bringing us together for a period of 2 or 3 years. So be in prayer about that and be aware that that will be happening. Cammie would be preaching on Valentine's Day of all days and be bringing the word to us at that time, whether we're in person or online, however it fully works. But be aware of that and be praying for Cammie just as you would be praying for Ryan and Jenny. So now what? Those are some frontline workers of evangelism and church planting. Pray for them devotedly, watchfully, with a thankful heart. But now you may be asking, okay, I've got a couple people to pray for. What do I pray for then? Again, I'm glad you asked that question. Because Paul then goes on to give what to pray for. To pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Again, 3 ways to pray. Pray personally for the church planter. Pray personally for the church planter. Verse 3, Paul says, and pray for us too. Pray for us too, the church planter. Paul says to pray for him too as a frontline worker and church planter. In addition to the ways in which there's a couple ways that he asks specifically, to pray for them specifically, two that come to mind. One, for wisdom. We all need wisdom. Those on frontline ministry sharing the gospel need wisdom to know how to intersect and how to share the good news of Jesus with those they are seeking to reach out to. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, we should ask. And our Heavenly Father will pour it out diligently, or pour it out so abounding in an abounding way upon us. So pray for wisdom for the church planter. Pray also for renewed energy. Pray for renewed energy. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, a harvest will be reaped. For those who are on the front lines, it can be very wearying. They need energy. They need strength, both physically and supernaturally. So pray for them. Pray for wisdom. Pray for renewed energy as well. Pray for what they'll do. And that is, secondly, pray that the Lord would provide for them an open door for the word. Pray for open doors for the word. Paul again says in verse 3, and pray for us too, that God will open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Paul asks these Colossian believers to pray for him that the Lord would provide an open door for the gospel to be shared. Friends, I hope you know that we serve a God open, a God that opens doors. You know that? We serve a God opening door, or a door opening God. I'll get it out there. We serve a door opening God. If I didn't have the mask on, you'd see me laughing at myself. We serve a door opening God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus says, what I close, no one can open. And what I open, no one can close. There is no man, there is no work of the evil one that can close the doors that God opens. So pray for those on the front lines that God would open doors to be able to share the message of Christ. And then pray third. Pray for a clear proclamation of the gospel when those doors are opened. Verse 4 says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul asks that they pray that as the doors are open, that he would be able to present the mystery of the gospel clearly to those that he is sharing it with. As you're praying for them, you can pray for their preparation time, both in study and even more in prayer prep. You can pray for those times of proclamation that the Spirit would be at work and that the enemy would be bound from bringing confusion and distraction and opposition against the word that is being shared at that moment. And you can pray for the response. Pray that the person who is sharing the gospel would know how to call for a response. How to call for a response. But also, there may be times that they need wisdom to know if in that moment they are being called to call that person to a response. Sometimes it's just a seed planting opportunity. And so to have wisdom and sensitivity to know in the response time what they should be doing. Pray. Pray for the church planter in their person, that they would have wisdom and energy. Pray that the Lord would open doors for them to share the word. And pray for them as they share the gospel, that it would be clear, a clear presentation to those who are hearing. So those are two ways that we can be praying. Pray for those on the front lines of evangelism and church planting, and pray also for opportunity that they would have opportunities to share the gospel. Third, and this is the shift to us. What do we do in our own personal evangelism, in our own regional and local sharing of the good news with those around us? Paul says in verses 5 through 6, to live wisely. This is relevant to those on the front lines, but it's also specifically applicable to each one of us, because each one of us are called to share the gospel with those around us. So Paul says that we should live wisely. Verse 5, it says, be wise. Be wise, first, among the unbelievers. He says, be wise, in the first half of verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders or unbelievers. See, Paul tells the Colossians to be wise in the way that they act towards these unbelievers around them. Why? Because their actions and our actions may be the very thing that either opens the door to a conversation with them about Christ, or it may be the very reason that they never want to hear anything about Jesus. I hope that settles on us with some weight, that the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves could be either the means that opens the door for people to encounter Jesus, or it may be the very reason that they say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus if that's the way they are. So friends, let me encourage us, especially in these days, that we would be very careful in two areas. One, very careful in what we say and in how we say it. Very careful of what we say and how we say it, both in our interpersonal conversations, but even more these days, I believe, in the way we interact on social media. Friends, so often the messages that are shared on social media may be absolutely right, but the ways in which they are shared are so absolutely wrong. You can end up winning the war of truth and lose the war of love for the person's heart. So be cautious and be careful in what you say and in how you say it, both interpersonally and in social media. Also, watch your conduct, just the way you live. Friends, the world is watching us. The world is watching us. Many people know that you are a Christian. So the world is watching how you conduct yourself, and your actions have a ripple effect. So be careful. Live wisely among the unbelievers. Friends, I really believe that the Lord wants us to wrestle with this and to remember that unbelievers do not live according to the standards of Christ. I think that should be a pretty straightforward understanding. Unbelievers do not live according to the standards of Christ. But often Christians expect unbelievers to live according to the standards of Christ. And when they don't, end up condemning them for it. End up criticizing them for it. Friends, when we do that, we end up pushing them away, not drawing them to Jesus. And sadly, Christians are becoming increasingly known for hatefulness and condemnation rather than love and of accepting people where they're at. Not saying what they're doing is right, but accepting them where they're at. Jesus said that we should be known by our love. You know, I'm sitting in here right now, standing in here. It's a lot hotter in here than I think in other parts of the building, right? If it's a little chilly up there, give me a head nod. No, not too bad? All right, it's pretty good. All right, well, most of you got your sweatshirts on, right? Well, what if, let's imagine that this went exactly how I thought it was going to go, and you all were freezing up there. I'm in here, and it's like 79, 80 degrees. I got to be honest, it's a little hot. I got my sleeves rolled up a little bit. What would it be like if I looked up at all of you in the overflow and thought, why in the world are they all wearing sweatshirts? And if it was really cold, why in the world would they be wearing jackets? It would be ridiculous for me, because of where we're at, even though we're in the same building, to be looking at you and saying, what's wrong with all of you up there? I'm perfectly fine in here, but all of you up there, why don't you have your sleeves rolled down? Friends, this is what we often do. We often live in the same world, and we look at people who aren't believers, and we're living in the warmth. And we look at them living in the cold without Christ, and we say, why don't they live like I'm living in here? Why don't they kick their shoes off? Why don't they roll their sleeves up? Why don't they get comfortable? Friends, if people have not accepted Christ, they're not living according to the same standards that we are. And so being wise And living wise among unbelievers means we need to understand where they're at. We need to meet them where they're at, without hate, without judgment, without condemnation, and love them and meet them right where they're at. Live wisely among unbelievers. Secondly, living wisely means making the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. The rest of verse 5 says, make the most of every opportunity. Pretty straightforward. Living wisely among unbelievers leads us to make the most of the opportunities there. If all of you were freezing up there, and I just said, oh, you guys need to get it together, you need to warm up, and even if I understood that you were freezing up there and I did nothing about it, I would not be making the most of the opportunity that was there. To make the most of the opportunity, I could take a cup of warm hot chocolate or coffee up to you. I could take another layer of a blanket or a jacket to help you to stay warm. Making the most of the opportunity. Friends, many times when we have interactions with others, there are opportunities that are there if we will be able to discern what they are. Our role in living among unbelievers is to listen to the Spirit's promptings, his whispers, his leading. This is why we've gone from holiness to repentance to the Spirit-filled life. Because the Spirit will give us options. He'll give us open doors that we can take advantage of. If someone that we are interacting with who is an unbeliever is sad, we can offer to pray for them in that moment. We can follow up then after, hey, how are you doing? You've been on my heart. I've been praying for you. How's the situation that you're dealing with? I'm here. What can I do? If in the midst of COVID, you're interacting with people who are really struggling financially, the opportunity may be to have compassion on them and to figure out how to help meet their needs. Maybe it's dropping off some groceries to them. Maybe you don't have the means, but you can rally some others around and say, hey, I know of a family who's struggling. Can we help them? Can we help to pay for a bill of theirs? Can we drop off some meals and continuing to check in? We're living in days of fear and uncertainty in many, many realms of society. And so the openings can often be in the midst of it. Where do you find hope? Let me encourage you that there is hope. See, in our interactions with people, most often if we are aware of them, there can be those little opportunities, little ways that we can speak into, that we can minister to people as we are listening to the leading of the Spirit. Follow him and make the most of every opportunity before us. And lastly, have engaging conversations to get a meaningful response from everyone. Verse 6, Paul concludes, let every conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Have engaging conversations to get a meaningful response from everyone. Jesus says at all times we are to preserve the message of Christ. Don't water it down, but also don't let it get trampled by those you know are continually resistant. If you had conversations with people over and over and over, and they are not responding and they are getting more pushback, there are seasons where you just have to step back from sharing the gospel in their lives because it is doing more damage by sharing it because they don't want it. Remain present. It's part of preserving the message of Christ, knowing when we need to share it and when to be wise and pull back. And learn to give a reason for the hope that you have. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15-16. Set apart in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have, doing it with gentleness and respect. There are going to be times when you, in the course of relationships, this is what Tim Meyer was talking about. I love how he describes evangelism, that it's leading people into that love relationship with Christ. It's bringing them into the family of God, not winning arguments, though at times we may have to give a defense for why Jesus is the only way or why Jesus is the Son of God or other reasons. But it's not about winning arguments, but having engaging conversations where you get a meaningful response from those, ultimately leading them to Jesus. A lot of information here this morning. ways that we can pray for those on the front lines, and ways that we can share the gospel, living wisely among unbelievers, making the most of every opportunity, and sharing it with seasoned with salt with grace. The story was told of a young salesman who was disappointed about losing a big sale that he had been working on. And as he talked with his sales manager, he lamented. He said, I guess it just goes to show and goes to prove that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The manager replied with much more wisdom and much more experience, said, son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. Friends, that's what evangelism is. In living and praying for those who are on the front lines, that they would lead and cause, that there would be a thirst among people for Christ, that they would live and share Christ in that way, and that we, our lives, and the way that we love, and the way we interact, and the way that we share, would cause a thirst, that people would say, I don't know what they have, but whatever it is, I want that. Evangelism, locally and regionally, create a thirst in people that they would want to know Jesus. Let's join together in prayer. Father, I pray that you would use us and that you would use Ryan and Jenny, that you would use Cammy and Katrina and their family, that you would use all of us to be people who create thirst. Thirst for you in the lives of those who do not know you yet. Father, I pray that you would help us to live wisely in our interactions with unbelievers, that we would make the most of every opportunity, that we would share the gospel well. Father, I pray encouragement and strength and wisdom for Ryan and Jenny and their church family as they are getting this church plant off the ground. Father, I pray for those in the Oakmont and Verona boroughs that there would be deep encounters with Christ, that you would use them to build bridges that would welcome people into your family. And Father, that we would have opportunities as well this week to build bridges to the lost, that they would come to know the Jesus that we have met. Jesus, you are good, you are loving, you are powerful, you're holy. It is our joy to follow you. May you use us by your Spirit to welcome others into your family as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
as living sanctuaries for the Holy Spirit, may you glorify him today and this week to come. And know that it's not because of how good you are doing, but of how powerfully you are allowing the Spirit to live through you. The pressure is off you. Just join with him. Continue to be in awe of the Spirit, or awe of the Father. Continue to live a life of repentance. Continue to surrender yourself to the Spirit so that you may be a sanctuary that glorifies the Father because of him living through you. And as you go about your life this week, may the Spirit come upon you in fresh power so that you will be his witnesses in your Jerusalem and your Judea this week. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may he grant you his deep, deep peace. Go in his peace and in his power. Amen.